A trial may last 6 months. But isn't it funny how God never tells us you're going to go into a trial and it's going to last this long. If you'll just make it to the end, you'll come out of it. He never tells us how long it's going to take for us to go through a trial. If he did, why would we need our faith? Because then we would know, oh, this is just going to last 6 months. If I can just make it 6 months. And the ironic thing is, we tend to make it 5 months and 29 days. And we say, that's it. I've had it. I'm done. Had we just endured a little while longer, just one more day, we would have realized, I made it. God was with me, and he brought me through it and brought me out. But we like everything in a hurry. The first sign of a headache, God, you're going to have to do something. My head is about to explode. I've got too much to do today, God, for you to allow this headache to take over my day. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, I'm going to get to my illustration in just a minute, but I want to give you some scriptures this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're not going to read, I'm going to skip some verses, but I want to paint a picture because I read this last night. I actually had some other scriptures, and something pulled me to this. And when I closed my Bible, I looked at Shane and I smiled. And he said, what are you smiling for? I said, God always knows how to direct in just the right time. Amen. And in just the right way. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Sound familiar? You have many obstacles coming against you, many people coming against you. Verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. Anyone ever fear? Someone tell you something? Fear kicks in. A doctor says, I see something on that x-ray. Fear kicks in. Something happens at home. Fear kicks in. Something happens at school. Fear kicks in. And it says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord.
Amen.
And set himself to seek the Lord. He didn't fear and dwell in that fear and remain in that fear and pace the floor back and forth. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't understand. I've given my life to God. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God, what are you expecting of me? What if? What if? What if? Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. How different this world would be if they just sought God out. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation. We're standing in the congregation of Griffin, Georgia, in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Before the new court. Yes. I'm standing before a new court. I don't see you like you are right now. I see where God's taking us. I see where God's bringing us through. I see where God is working in us and is going to make us something different than we are right now.
Amen.
In verse 6, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? See, even Jehoshaphat was recalling the victories of God. He went before, even in fear, and said, are you not God? Are you not the powerful one that drove out the inhabitants of this land for your children of Israel? You've done it before, God. You can do it again.
Amen.
And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, gossip, lying, bad reports, wrongdoing, judgment, anything that comes against you.
Amen.
Jehoshaphat was saying, art not thou our God? If, even when this evil comes upon us, if, when it comes upon us, for thy name is in this house.
Amen.
When you're standing in a house that God is in, fear has to run. Oppression has to crumble. Chains have to break, because we are standing in the house of God. And cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear and help. Because see, he's a very present what? We're going to have to go back to, y'all, more of y'all need to come to Sunday school, amen? That is why the enemy is defeating us, is because we forgot the word. We don't study the word, because the word is a two-edged sword. Our emotions and our words cannot even come close to the enemy. But when we get busy about this word, as Jehoshaphat said, I feared, but I know where my source is. I'm going to the Most High God, who will help me and hear our cries, as he's done in days past. Amen?
Amen.
Skip down to verse 11. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. We ourselves have no strength against the enemy. We have nothing that we can conquer ourselves against the enemy. Neither know we what to do. How many times have I been there? God, I don't know what to do. I can't put my finger on it. I can't put my hand on it. I don't know. I don't see a way out. Just as Jehoshaphat said, neither know we what to do. But nevertheless, our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon God. Amen? And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. See, when you make it a household thing, I'm not coming by myself. I'm grabbing my spouse. I'm grabbing my children. I'm taking my children to church. Yes, it's important, because that's what the word says. They all, as a household, came into the house of God. And they stood before the Lord, and their eyes were upon him. Verse 15, and he said, the prophet Jehazel, he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid.
Yes.
Be not afraid.
Amen.
Or dismayed. Don't worry about how you're going to handle it. Don't worry about what you're going to do. Don't worry about where your next step is going to come from. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Don't let the enemy scare you into fear. Don't let the enemy's roar be stronger than what it really is. Because when you set your eyes upon God, amen, when you set your eyes upon God, then God will say, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I want you to say it with me. For the battle is not mine, but God's. Say it again. But the battle is not mine, but God's. So we've established we're in a battle. We're in a struggle. Every day we're in a battle. The battle is in our minds. The battle is not yours physically, but it is spiritually. Because Paul said in 1 Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Now, the battle is not ours, but Paul is telling us to fight the good fight of faith. That should tell me I don't have to fight physically. I can't fight people physically. I could, but it's not going to amount to nothing. I can do all these different things, but when I decide in my mind to turn it over to God, that is fighting the good fight of faith spiritually. Because then you've got a made up mind. Whether I win or whether I lose, my eyes are upon Him that knows all and sees all. He is going before me, fighting my battles. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear, because God is making the crooked path straight for me. Amen?
Amen.
In verse 17, He said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Yeah. Oh, what a day it is when we realize the battle is not mine. God, it's yours 100%. Yeah. And I'm going to set my eyes on you. It says, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. See the salvation. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, Abiding Love Community. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. The Bible also says, if God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter who's against us. It doesn't matter how great the multitude is. It doesn't matter how heavy and how strong the enemy is. It doesn't matter, because number one, the battle is not ours. It is God's. All we have to do is walk in. We're walking in willingly. God didn't say how He was going to do it. God didn't say how He was going to build this church. God didn't say when it was going to happen. But just like God told Jehoshaphat, fear not, nor be dismayed, because I will go with you. I will go before you. Set your eyes upon me, and know in your heart and in your mind that the battle is not yours. I have a plan in motion, and it doesn't matter the multitude that is around you. All you got to do is know in your heart, I am God, and beside me there is none else. I will not give my glory nor share my glory with another person, but I am the one and only true God. Amen?
Amen.
2 Chronicles 15 and 7 says, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. In this translation, I like the Message translation, because it really hit home. It says, keep your eyes open. Hold tight to your convictions. Give it all you've got. Be resolute. Sometimes we feel like I just need one. Come here, Blake. sometimes what we don't realize is spiritually every day when we wake up, simply because we belong to God, every day that we wake up, now, I'm not hitting, number one, because I don't want to hurt my son. But you see, I'm just little by little jabbing. And while we typically don't have a smile on our face when we're getting hit by the enemy, it may be that you wake up one morning, oh, I got a pain in my back. But I'm getting up. I'm going on. And then you go throughout your day, and thoughts come into your mind. I hate my job. My family is against me. I don't really understand my purpose in life. I'm going to the doctor. I just know, what if it's cancer? What if they tell me something where I only have so many more days to live? What if? And then somebody cuts you off in traffic. After a while, you're going to get tired. Day after day, that's what the enemy does. Punches and jabs. And sometimes, after a while, he just comes up and just punches you right in the gut, and you feel like the breath and the wind has been knocked out of you completely, and you start to struggle, and your knees get a little weak, and it feels like I'm going down for the count. It may be that these jabs and these punches, while they may seem little and insignificant at the time, they wear on you. They attach themselves to you until you feel beaten and beat down to where you may say, God, I cannot take one more punch. I cannot take one more piece of bad news. I cannot take one more day of feeling the way I feel. God hears us, but so does the enemy. And little by little, he's jabbing. He's punching. And all the while that we're going through these day after day by not seeking God and not earnestly putting our eyes upon him, punch after punch after punch until we're completely worn out. Fall down. You ain't gonna mess up your clothes. Fall down. Completely down. Some days I have felt like, God, I'm not getting up. It's easier to stay down. It's easier because I know if I get back up, the punches are going to keep coming. The punches are going to be harder and heavier than they were the day before. Why do I have to endure this? It's just better just to stay down. The enemy looks just like a kickboxing match or a boxing match. They're looking. He's down. The referee starts counting. One, two, three. And the closer he gets to 10, the enemy assumes, I've got this victory. I've done knocked him out. I've done killed him. Because after all, the enemy's main goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And when he thinks that he has stolen your joy, when he thinks that he has stolen your victory, when he thinks he's ripped out the very life from your body, when he thinks that he has extracted every ounce of word that you had left within your body, he's looking. Hurry up and get to 10, ref. Hurry up and get to 10 so that I can hold my hands up and proclaim victory.
Yeah.
And then he gets 6, 7, 8, 9. Now stay right there. Jehoshaphat and the Jehoshaphat and Judah were at the count of nine. It said he feared. All these different reports. Ammon's coming against us. Moab's coming against us. Mount Seir's coming against us. Three different armies are coming against little old Judah. And of course he feared. You have somebody coming against you, you will fear because you're human. You will fear when something comes up on an x-ray. You will fear when you hear family members are just going down the wrong road and you don't know how they're going to turn around. You fear because you're human. Jehoshaphat feared, but he didn't stay in his fear. He went to the Most High God and say, he said, I can't do this myself. I know that we have been through much. And yes, this is an even greater battle than it was yesterday. But still, I'm going to the Lord. I'm going to the Most High God. It doesn't matter that I'm flat on my back. It doesn't matter that I've lost the will to get up. It doesn't matter that I'm tired and worn out. Amen. 8, 9. God gave him hope. God will step in right at the most opportune time and say,
yes.
You are mine, saith God. I am with you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Need not fear. Don't be dismayed. Am I not God? Did I not save you yesterday? What I did yesterday, I will do even greater today. Don't let the last of the enemy scare you. Because at the end of the day, when all is said and done, I am the Lord God. And I control all. And I will get the last laugh. I am the one who controls the situation. Even though it looks bad, even though it sounds bad, even though you hear the ref counting till 9. Go back to 2 Chronicles. It says, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. The Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground in humility because he had gained hope once again. He heard from God. He worshiped the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korathites stood up to do what? Praise the Lord God of Israel. With what? I know that word is a little foreign to some of you when it comes to praise. I know that it's just not right. It makes me uncomfortable. I just don't understand why we have to be loud. I just don't understand why we can't just be silent. Because see, while you may be quiet in church, while I may be quiet in church, God knows when I'm by myself, driving down the road, tears flowing down my face, I'm saying, God, have mercy upon me. God, I am in an impossible situation. Lord, I've heard the cries of people in our congregation. God, step in and move for them when they can't do it for themselves. When you're by yourself and you've got such a weight upon you, you're going to get loud because you're desperate. Sometimes, as Shane said, God has to allow things to happen to let you get loud. Sometimes God has to remind you who is in control of your life. Who is the one that you're dependent on? Is it man? Man will fail you. But when you look to me in all things, in every situation of your life, you won't care who is around you. You won't care who is beside you. You won't care how prim and proper you look. Yep. Because I've been in places where tears were coming out of my face, snot was coming out of my nose, and I didn't care how loud I got because I knew that God had to intervene on my professional. You shouldn't act that way in church. You shouldn't do this. But I guarantee you, let God put you in a situation where you need God. When you are brought to your knees and brought low, yeah, then your voice will be loud and boisterous, and you won't care. And you'll say, God, you have brought me to my knees. I don't care what it looks like. All I care about is that you hear my cry and you come to me and save me and pull me out of the fire.
Amen.
It says they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. He's still at nine. Sometimes if we feel like the ref is in slow motion and you're waiting, God, are you going to count me out? Just count me out. It's easier just to count me out. But then something grabs the ref's hands. Just as something grabbed the attention of Jehoshaphat and of Judah, they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. I'm standing before you today. Hear me, O abiding love community. And ye inhabitants of Griffin and Hampton and McDonough and all the surrounding cities, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. That foundation will be settled. Don't fear, don't waver, do what you know to do, and then believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. If the people of Judah had not believed one word of Jehoshaphat, they would have been annihilated, they would have been wiped out. And we wonder why we find ourselves in these situations, and we pray and pray, and God speaks to somebody. Go to that person. Tell them what you know. Tell them what I have said to you to give them hope. And when somebody comes to you, well, I thank you, but sort of like the guy sitting on top of the house crying out to God in a flood, God, save me. He sends a boat by, helicopter by. Nope, I'm waiting on God to save me. He missed three opportunities that God sent somebody to help him. Yes. Because it didn't look like what he thought it should look like. I'm telling you today that whatever situation you're in, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed what? Fighters? He appointed singers. Now you may say, if I'm going into battle, singers are the last people I'm going to put out there. They're going to be the first. If I was a singer, I'd say, whoa, wait now. You're going to put me in the front line of battle? I have no weapon. I have no gun. I have no slingshot. You're going to put a singer, a little old singer out there? Absolutely. Because our ways are not God's ways. Amen. Neither our ways are our thinking. God's thinking. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. So here you have, we're marching into battle. Why do you think we have praise and worship before we have the word? Praise and worship is not up here for a concert. Praise and worship is not here to, nice song, not even like that. And all the while, God is saying, they don't even get it. Yeah. If I sent my singers and my worshipers out before those that knew how to fight, because the battle is not mine, I have the will to fight, but I don't have to. Because when the singers go out before the army, it says, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, when they begin to sing and praise. See, it does matter that you praise and worship God in the very darkest point of your situation.
Yeah.
When the rep is up to 9, when it looks like the battle is over, the towel's about to be thrown in, I'm about to be counted out, something deep down inside tells you, just praise me one more time. Just sing my praises one more time.
Yeah.
Something just leaps within your spirit and you start to get up. What happens is when the enemy thinks that he's knocked you out, I don't understand this. I'm confused. Did I not just sucker punch you until you fell flat on the mat? I don't understand. Well, God works in confusion.
Amen.
In that sense. He's not the author of confusion, but he knows how to send confusion to the enemy. Just like your praise sends confusion to the enemy. Because it says when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments. Liars in wait. He sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. See, when you praise, no matter how bad it looks, when you say, God, I know what you can do. I know what you did for me yesterday. I know without a doubt you are still God and Lord of my life. Then when God knows where you stand with him, he'll say, you walk out because I want you to see my hand move for you. You show up. And I want you to see what I can do. You show up because I'm going to show the enemy what I can do and what you have done for me.
Yeah.
Judah showed up praising and singing God. I can see them now. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now I know I'm using the words of David, but me and David kind of relate, because when I get low in spirit, when I look like that I'm down for the count, I have learned through experience, just praise me one more time. Just sing my song and my praises one more time, because we never know that the next day may be the end of our trial. The next day may be the end of our situation. The next day, it may be that God says, it is enough. You have crossed the line. You have made it to the finish point. Now I'm going to step in. Now I'm going to show up. And now I am going to bring my promises forth. And when I do, no man can take the glory. No man can say it was this, that, or the other. No man will be able to explain your victory. Because I'm going to set confusion amongst your enemies. You're not even going to have to raise your hand against them or one word. I'm telling you today, as God is my witness, there are people here who have been in a mental war, spiritual warfare, no matter how bad, what you call it, what terminology. There has been a spirit of warfare and a spirit of attack sent to this church on the people in it, on us, to prevent us from obtaining the spoil that God has already promised us. We don't have to fight one lick. All we have to do is continue praising. God, I know what it looks like, but I don't care. And that right there will cause you to get up in the very darkest times. Get up, get up, get up. Because when you start to get up, you start to make the enemy tremble. You start to confuse the enemy. Why is she getting up? I've done everything to her. I've sent people against her. I've talked about her. I've mocked her. I've lied to her in her ears. And she's still getting up. See, the devil doesn't know what to do when he's confused. It said confusion broke out. Moab and Ammon turned against Mount Seir. And when they annihilated them, guess what? They turned on each other. People that are talking about you or meaning you harm, even family members, don't worry about them. Because when you turn it over to God and say, God, you get in them. You take control. I'm setting my eyes on you and I'm praising you for what you're bringing forth. I'm praising you and singing because my praise is going to crumble them walls like they did with Joshua. What'd he do? Start praising. We're going to march around. Yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. But if you obey me and hear my voice, when I say shout, you're going to see results. When I say shout, you are going to start hearing the rumbling of a wall that's being broken down. And I'm standing here telling you today, if you'll just praise him one more time, if you'll just praise him one more day, then you will begin to hear the crumbling of walls. You'll be able to hear the crackling of chains breaking. And when they turned against each other, when Judah, in verse 24, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Now I'm not saying that God's going to wipe out your family members, heaven forbid, but he knows how to send confusion into them, to bring them to their knees, to where they cry out. And it may be they're going to call on you. Amen. They may come to you and say, I'm sorry. I was in a state of whatever. But I'm sorry. Something told me that I'm wrong. And I need to come and apologize to you. God knows what he's doing. God knows how to fix impossible situations. And it says, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance. Somebody say in abundance. It wasn't just scarce here and there. Because my God knows how to go above and beyond. In abundance. Look around you. He went above and beyond to bless us. And you think that this thought of this church not growing is going to stop us now? No. We may punch ourselves. And sometimes we're good at that. We don't have to worry about people doing it. We do it to ourselves. Amen. Sometimes it's psh, that saying, why are you hitting yourself? Psh. Because we beat ourselves up. If it's not somebody else, it's ourselves. Beating us up day after day. I can't do this. I can't understand this. I don't see a way out. I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. I'm not pretty. I'm ugly. I don't have enough hair. I've got too much hair. Whatever it is and how little it is. I can't sing. Oh, I sing better than everybody else. Whatever it is, Satan will use it against you. Amen. Every day. Yeah. Punching. Because his ultimate goal is to knock you out. Get you off your feet. But I'm here to tell you that just as Jehoshaphat and Judah didn't have to raise one hand, they watched it. They watched the promises of God unfold before them. They didn't have to do anything except walk in and take what's theirs. Walk in and take what God had promised them. That's all we have to do. Abiding Love Community, God has not carried us this far to leave us in the wilderness. He has not left us. He has not forsaken us. He has been with us every step of the way. And all we have to do is just continue. And when the devil throws his punches, until we get like this, I'm fixing to go down. You're going to have days like that. Get back up. Get back up through praise and saying, God, I know you've never left me nor forsaken me. You will be with me until my very end of days. I know that there is a reason for this. I'm not going to be anxious for nothing. But I'm going to praise you regardless. You know what that does? I got my fight back up here. This is what we're doing spiritually. You come at me, devil, because when you do, I'm going to give you everything that I've got. I'm going to throw word at you. I'm going to throw throw my sword at you, and it's going to cut your head off. It's going to stop you in your tracks. It's going to shut your mouth up. And what's more, your eyes are going to be left open because you're going to see God move for me. You're going to see God carry forth his promises. There's nothing that you can do that will prevent the hand of God from moving. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I know this is unconventional. I don't care. I really don't. Because you know what? If this right here is a reminder in the morning when you feel so low, when you feel so bad about yourself, when you feel hopeless in a hopeless situation, when you feel attacks coming against you, when you feel anxiety coming over you, you remember there's still fight left in you. There is still something greater than the enemy in you. And all you got to do is channel it. And you channel it by saying, God, just as Jehoshaphat did, God, are you not the God that is all powerful and most high? Are you not the same God who delivered your children out of Egypt? Are you not the same God who delivered me from relationships in times past? Are you not the same God who blessed us with a beautiful church? And not just a beautiful church, but everything that goes with it. Are you not the God that's going to fill it with people who are not ashamed to praise your name? Who will bring forth gifts? Who will bring people in? Are you not the same God who will put people in our path that we can speak to them and plant seeds and they will be saved, and then they will in turn go out to somebody else and say, do you know what God did for me? He saved me. He sent somebody in my path that was not ashamed to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I came to know Christ. That's how I came to get saved. And now I'm fishing. I'm throwing my hook out. That's how God works. It's unconventional. People don't agree with it. People feel uncomfortable. But you know what? God makes people feel uncomfortable. Amen?
Amen.
There's been so many times that I felt like and heard other people say, I've lost my praise. I've lost the will. What does it prove? I'm tired of praising God and saying that everything's going to be okay when everything is World War III in my life. Does that sound familiar?
Yep.
Does it sound like that you take one step forward and you get punched back three steps?
Yep.
But you know what? God is still God. God is still in control. God is still saying, just praise me one more day. Just go that extra mile. Just praise me one more day. Because if I told you I was going to do something, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to withhold my promises any longer, as he said in Ezekiel. But I will do that which I said I was going to do. I will not withhold it any longer. But now is the time. Now is the time. And I'm telling you right now, if you will just stand to your feet, raise your hands, not because I told you to, but because God has been too good to you. God has been too great to you. God has been above and beyond. Thank you, Sharina. Thank you. Because when that, and if you don't want to stand, that's fine. But you're not going to stop me from praising God. Because when I get my walls crumbled, when I get those chains broken, and I start rejoicing and saying, it was the Lord that did it. It was Heavenly Father that did it. He came in right when I needed him to. It doesn't matter who talked about me. It doesn't matter who said, I don't do that. That scares me. That's fine. It's not contagious. He's not going to jump on you. But there is a God that I serve in my life that I am not ashamed of. I know who I serve, and I know what he can do. And there are things in my life that I'm still waiting on. I'm still waiting for the hand of God to move. But until he does, until he sees fit, I will continue to lift my hands in prayer, and I will say, God, you are God of my life. There is nothing that you cannot do. You are the God of impossibilities, and I will continue. mouth.
Amen.
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 You want to know the direction of this church and the what's the word I'm looking for? Vision of this church. Number one is to see souls saved.
Amen.
Ultimately, is to see souls saved. But you know what? After you get saved, you need some encouragement. You need to be taught you can make it another day. Being saved doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but you need to be reminded that God is still in control. God didn't save you to leave you in the wilderness, but He will continue to carry you through to the promised land. All you got to do is believe. All you got to do is study and read His word, and then it will spring forth.
Man.
The devil is a liar.
Amen.
Because this church, the Bible says, speak the things that are not as though they are. This church is going to be filled with people who are on fire, not seat warmers, people who are on fire, who are not ashamed to raise their hand because I know what God did for me. I know where He brought me from, and for that I owe Him my life. And for that I owe Him every ounce of praise. That's what the enemy wants to do, is stifle your praise, because that's where your breakthrough comes from. If that is where your breakthrough, yes, it's unconventional. And if people were to, if we were to open the doors and show people praising God, they'd think, yeah, there's a bunch of holy rollers in there. They're in there just doing all kinds of things. But yet they get drunk and shout and scream and put war paint on at ball games. It doesn't make sense. But you know what? I figure if I can scream and holler for the Georgia Bulldogs, my praise should be a whole lot louder and more meaningful to the God who saved me out of the pits of hell, who was there for me when I didn't know where to go, when I didn't know what to do. That is who I'm going to give my praise to. That is what I'm going to shout about. That is what I'm going to raise my voice for. Amen? I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute as I'm putting them on the spot. I want you to come down here. And as the leader and pastor of this church, we are going to be interceding for you. Because I don't know about you. I'm tired of the devil beating him up. I'm tired of the devil attacking him. And we know that the attacks won't stop.
Right.
We know that. But at the same time, I've seen this man praying for this church, praying for the people in it.
Yes.
I've seen his sacrifice. I've seen and I know his heart. And you don't think that the devil fights him? Absolutely. Because if he cuts the head off, what happens to the body? So I'm going to ask that you come down here. And all of those who are not ashamed, who will come and lay hands on him, we're going to ask God for healing in his body. We're going to ask God for more of God in him.